It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Huntington High football coach Billy Seals on his team's trip to the Super Six.
We're definitely excited. I know our kids are excited about the opportunity, but they also want to go to the game to win the game. We're just not happy with getting there.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. West Virginia University's Board of Governors unanimously approved a series of guidelines to hire a full-time replacement for departing President James Clements. But there's still a mystery over who exactly will be the interim president. Beneduccio reports.
The Board of Governors approved two motions, including a series of steps it intends to take to hire a new president by next June. This includes setting up a search committee appointed in January, made up of students, faculty members, and some members of the Board of Governors. The guidelines would also schedule on-campus visits with finalists in April of 2014. Jim Daly is the chair of the school's BOG. He says he's looking for an engaging individual to be the next full-time president.
Jim Clements had the type of personality and an infectious way to gather people in and make them feel very much at ease, very comfortable with themselves, even though they were dealing or talking with the president of Western University. Jim never gave off an air of superiority to anyone and was felt he was one of us kind of guys. When you came away with the conversation with him, you felt very comfortable that he cared about you, and you certainly then came away caring about him.
Clements is leaving soon to be the president at the University of Clemson. The board also came to a decision on who they want to be interim president, but wouldn't disclose it to the public at its emergency meeting, which was the second one this week. For nearly 5 hours during this week's two meetings, the board met in executive session to decide what they want to do. Daly says the meetings went well, and it's been a tough decision to develop not only a list of the candidates for the interim job, but the guidelines for the search process.
Some people think, my heavens, what are they doing? Why is it taking them so long? But there was a great deal of effort and a great deal of understanding put into the process that we were going through and how important it would be for our university.
The procedures, as well as the interim selection, must be approved by the Higher Education Policy Commission. That's expected to happen later this morning. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
The State Purchasing Office opened bids from out-of-state private prisons to take in inmates to relieve overcrowding in the state system. State inmates currently being held at regional jails are without access to the rehabilitative services they need to become eligible for parole. That lack of access has made the state prison and jail populations grow even more. As Ashton Mara reports, the bid received by Corrections Corporation of America will now become an option to help ease those numbers.
Okay, this is for COR 61659 CCA.
That list of letters and numbers you just heard, that is a bid as received by the State Purchasing Office. A bid from CCA, the Corrections Corporation of America, for the West Virginia Division of Corrections to send in-state male prisoners to their out-of-state facility. The request for proposals, known as an RFP in government jargon, asked national companies or state corrections departments to bid on sending West Virginia inmates to their facilities in the hopes of curbing our own overcrowding problem. Jim Rubenstein is the commissioner of the West Virginia DOC.
You know, at one point we had over 1,800 inmates who had been sentenced to the Division of Corrections awaiting bed space in one of the 10 regional jails.
CCA was one of two companies to attend a mandatory pre-bid conference in October, but is the only bidder on the proposal. The national organization houses nearly 80,000 offenders at 64 facilities in 20 states. They're proposing West Virginia send its inmates to their Beattyville, Kentucky facility, the Lee Adjustment Center. Lee, a three-hour drive from Charleston, has a total of 816 beds and currently houses 450 men from Vermont. The DOC requires West Virginia's population to be separated from any other out-of-state prisoners at the facility, which CCA says is possible at the Lee Center. In the bid, CCA says it could immediately take 350 inmates from West Virginia, with the possibility of expanding to fit up to 400, which Rubenstein calls a temporary solution for the state's overcrowding problem.
When I say temporary, I wish I could put more of a time frame on that, which I can't. But by no means is this an out of sight, out of mind banishment of any sort. You know, this is purely getting those offenders engaged immediately in the programming, the treatment, the, you know, work and everything that they need to be involved in. And being prepared to see the parole board upon their first appearance.
Classes, counseling, and treatment these offenders currently do not have access to in regional jails. In the RFP, companies were asked to detail how they would meet 68 mandatory items set forth by the DOC. Those included the types of rehabilitative and educational programming available to inmates, a facility that meets the American Correctional Association standards, and access to medical and mental health services, just to name a few.
We wanted to match up as close as possible the operation of our facilities to meet, you know, the needs of what the parole board wanted to see the inmate to achieve when appearing in front of them. So, you know, a lot of those mandatories are really those standards that we considered very critical that allows us to effectively and professionally run our own facilities.
An evaluation committee will meet Monday to go through all 68 responses, but the bid details one program in particular the company will have to create at the Lee Center in order to meet West Virginia's requirements, a rehabilitation program for sex offenders. CCA expects 20% of the inmates received from West Virginia to be sex offenders and says they will implement a three-phase program that includes psychoeducational activities, cognitive restructuring, and relapse and reentry prevention. The course will allow 15 inmates to attend 1 2-hour session per week. Still, Rubenstein stresses this is just an option for the state. After the committee review, an oral on-site interview will take place at the Lee Center in the coming weeks. And if all 68 criteria can be met, then the state will open the envelopes containing CCA's daily rate for housing prisoners. Rubenstein says they may not know how much it will cost until early January. From there, he says it becomes the governor's decision if it is fiscally responsible to give inmates the option to go out of state to be housed and receive treatment, or if there are other temporary options the state can pursue to deal with the overpopulation quickly. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:38. The National Weather Service has issued a flood watch until Saturday morning for 26 western and central counties, as well as portions of southern Ohio and eastern Kentucky. As much as 3 inches of rain are possible in those areas. A winter weather advisory until midnight tonight for Hancock and Brooke counties and portions of eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania. Possible accumulations of ice, sleet, and snow up to 5 inches are possible in those areas. On a 2-hour delay this morning, schools in Tyler County and Boone County closing early today. Schools in Hancock County were closed 2 hours early, and Brooke County schools also will close 2 hours early today. Fog this morning, cloudy today, rain continues, temperatures in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Rain continues overnight with patchy fog possible, a mix of rain, sleet, and snow possible overnight, lows in the 20s and 30s. The outlook for Saturday, a chance of snow or sleet in the morning, becoming mostly sunny Saturday afternoon, but remaining cold with temperatures in the 30s tomorrow. For the second straight year, two Huntington area teams are headed to Wheeling this weekend to battle for football state championships in this year's Super Six. Clark Davis has more about Wayne and Huntington High School's distinctly different routes to Wheeling.
For Huntington High, the game marks the first trip to the state title game since 1966 and a possible first state championship in football. For Wayne High, it's a third straight appearance and a chance at three straight titles in Class AA and a state record 37 wins in a row. Wayne's game will kick off Friday evening at 7:30 at Willing Island Stadium against Bridgeport. It's a battle of the top seed Wayne against the second seed Bridgeport, and it isn't the first time the schools have met for a state title. In 2000, Bridgeport was victorious. That game marked the first of five trips since the year 2000 for Wayne. Wayne head coach Tom Harmon says they deal with the target on their back by working hard.
Well, you try not to deal with it on game night. You know, if you're waiting the game night to play your best game, that can be a problem. You know, you need to take care of those issues in preparation. And, you know, preparation starts pretty early, and people working hard, people wanting to contribute. Football, a big part of it is just how much it means to you.
Wayne's opponent, the Bridgeport Indians, have 22 consecutive playoff appearances and trips to the semifinals in four of the last 5 years, with two of those years as a Class AAA team. Their game plan isn't much different from what Wayne does. Wayne features a wing tee offense they call the Wayne tee, while Bridgeport runs the ball out of a stick eye. Harmon says Bridgeport is unique compared to many teams around the state.
Offensively, they block, and it's kind of a, you know, a little bit of a trend, even nationwide, is trying to figure out how to move football without blocking. And Bridgeport didn't get the memo on that because they still do it the old-fashioned way. They double team and push people off the ball as good as anybody you'll see.
Wayne enters the contest at 13-0, and Bridgeport sits at 12-1. Wayne's hope is that a solid running game mixed with good defense will mean a third straight championship win.
There's certainly a lot of pride there, you know, from a standpoint of knowing that the football team doing well is a big part of the community. And, you know, we've got great support here, and a lot of people talk about it, gas stations and barbershops and churches, and, you know, a lot of people are involved in it.
Community support isn't something Huntington High has had a lot of since the consolidation of the old Huntington High with Huntington East High in 1996. But the 2013 football season for Huntington and its 13-0 record in Class AAA has spurred support. In just his fifth season, Billy Seals has taken a program from 0-10 his first season at Huntington to 13-0 and a number one ranking heading to Willing for a noon kickoff Saturday against Martinsburg.
The biggest thing that occurred in our program that helped us was the off-season program. You know, we had some success that second year, went 4-6, and slowly started getting the guys out. And let's face it, when you go 8-4, 9-3, and, you know, in back-to-back years, those kids are going to come out because they want to be a part of it. So most of our athletes in the building are playing football.
Seals says Saturday's challenge is the biggest they faced yet. Martinsburg is the winner of the last three state championships at the AAA level in the state. Led by talented quarterback Malik Watkins, the second-ranked Bulldogs' only loss this season was by a score of 35-34 to Tuscarora from Virginia. Sills says the biggest key for them against Martinsburg is to not get overwhelmed by the scene and the Bulldogs.
First thing, we got to weather the storm early. You know, hopefully the stage does not get us big-eyed to where we don't handle it well early in the game. And if you look at last week, you know, in the Martinsburg game, they jump up 14-0 with 9 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the first quarter on Capitol. And then you're playing catch-up the rest of the night. And you just cannot do that against a great team like Martinsburg.
Sills says he's excited for a senior class that's taken a Huntington football program to heights it's never seen.
You look at this senior class, I mean, they've had a pretty good run. I mean, 8-4, 9-3, and then 13-0. So, you know, and the classes previous of that built the foundation for where we're at today. So we're definitely excited. I know our kids are excited about the opportunity, but they also want to go to the game to win the game. We're just not happy with getting there.
The single-A game at the Super 6 takes place Saturday night at 7 between Greenbrier West and Madonna. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott performed It All Comes Down to Love on this mountain stage, Song of the Week.
Easy. easy to follow. Running scared with eyes closed, I guess I should know. Oh, the thing about a love gone wrong, inside goes where outside once was. Here I sit with a bucket of songs that no one else will sing. To myself, I'm the only one to listen, waiting like a Christian for the dawn. I walk out in the freezing cold, wake me up, help to remember me. I'm always looking for home and a reason to remain. I see it in the fleeting flow, silent eyes, moon on the water. How the heavens brightly show me to the here and now. Hey.
Scott and Tim O'Brien with It All Comes Down to Love. You can hear this song again and more music on Mountain Stage, Sunday afternoon at 2, right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glynis Bohr, Dave Mistich, and Ashton Mara. Our theme music is by Matt Jaffer. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.